Well, may the words of my mouth and meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. We were in Matthew 11 yesterday. I have this really simple word again from Matthew 11. So let me read these verses to you. And it came about that when Jesus had finished giving instructions to his 12 disciples, he departed from there to teach and to proclaim in their cities. Now when John in prison heard of the works of Christ, he sent word by his disciples and said to him, Are you the coming one, or shall we look for someone else? Jesus answered and said to them, Go and report to John the things which you hear and see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he who keeps from being offended or stumbling over me. And as these were going away, Jesus began to say to the multitudes concerning John, What did you go out into the wilderness to look at? A reed shaken by the wind? But what did you go out to see? A man dressed in soft clothing? Behold, those who wear soft clothing are in king's palaces. But why did you go out? To see a prophet? Yes, I tell you, and no one is more who is even more than a prophet. This is the one about whom it is written, Behold, I send my messenger before you, who will prepare your way before you. Truly I say to you, among those born of women, there has not risen anyone greater than John the Baptist. So looking at these scriptures a little bit different today, we looked at yesterday about John was offended because he thought Jesus had come to take away the sins of the world. And he heard about what Jesus was doing, but that didn't look like that. And Jesus sends back the word to him and says, taking away the sins of the world includes all the ravages of the reign of sin, which includes sickness and disease. And he said, this is what I'm doing. I'm doing exactly what you thought I would do. There's just more to it than you realized. But the other part about this scripture that's fascinating to me is remember that Jesus came to, one, be the prototype of the new creation, that he came and took on our humanity. And even though he was God, he lived as human. He was tempted in every way like unto us. And so he came to be the prototype of the new creation that we might see as the second Adam what the first Adam was called to live, how he was called to live. And so he gives this great example of the new creation, this life we get to live in union with him that he exhibited by his union with the Father as the Son of Man. But he also came to reveal the truth about God, because the Jewish people had come to some conclusions about God primarily being a perfectionist. And therefore, if you're going to be blessed, if you're going to experience God's love for you, not live under his chronic disappointment over you, then you better get it right. So they even added more rules and more things that even were written in the law, because acceptance and favor with God was all based on your performance in keeping the rules. That's who God is. So Jesus came to reveal to them the truth that God is good, and that God is grace, and God is love, and that rules aren't nearly as important to him as people are. And so the Father would get Jesus to pick fights with them all the time, to offend their rules and to heal people and to change people's lives, because he wanted them to know that what he cares about is people. He's not obsessed with right and wrong. He's obsessed with you and me. He sent his Son not to die about rules. He came to die for you and me. They got really offended with Christ. When they finally decided, their offense with him was growing, but when they finally decided it was time to kill him, we have to put this guy to death, is when he called publicly God his Father. Because they never saw God as Abba. They never saw him as Father. You never said that word. That was too personal. God was too perfect. God was too holy. You were too unholy. You couldn't say that word. And Jesus did. So the interesting thing about this is that when John sends some of his disciples to go ask Jesus, like, are you the guy? Even though he had proclaimed him to be the guy, John had known him all of his life. They were cousins. So he knew Jesus well, proclaimed him to be the one, the Messiah. But now things aren't going the way John thought they were going to go. This is not what taking away the sins of the world looked like to John. And then when Jesus sends back word about tell John this, Jesus completes that conversation with his disciples, those disciples of John who are going to go back and answer John's questions. Jesus said to all the people around him, blessed is he who's not offended with me, who doesn't stumble over me. Now we've talked about this some in the past, that this is John the Baptist. Jesus said no one who's ever been born of a woman is greater than him. And yet he stumbles. Have you ever, as a Christian, stumbled? Probably never have you? Have you ever stumbled in offense? Has Jesus ever done things certain ways or allowed things to happen and you're offended in your heart? You're offended with him because he didn't do it the way you thought it should be done. Now, you may not even know it's him you're offended with. You're just offended with life because life's not working out the way you thought. And in your mind, the enemy's convinced you you're having to settle for plan B, sort of a second-class life because of what's happened. And truly, our offense is towards him. Because somehow, couldn't he have kept that from happening? Couldn't he have somehow kept those circumstances from coming together? He's God. We have free will, but he's God. He's sovereign. It's a mystery to me. I don't know. But I just know this, that sometimes we stumble. And sometimes our stumbling is that we're offended. And Jesus said, blessed is he. If you want to really live a blessed life, that's one of the things you got to be careful about. Don't get offended with him when things aren't happening the way you thought. Now, so in a way, Jesus is addressing where John's blowing it. See, John's sending his disciples to say to Jesus, it seems to me you're blowing this. And so Jesus sends back the message, actually, you're the one blowing it. Gosh, how many times do we live like that? How many times do we stumble because we excuse blowing it because somebody else, we think they're blowing it? Well, they started it. Well, they said it first. I mean, all the excuses. But what I love about Jesus is after he says, John, blessed are those who aren't offended with me. And then he starts in this sort of conversation with all these people, with the multitudes. He says, now, let me tell you about John. He said, you went out to see a prophet? Yes, he was. But he's more than a prophet. He had an assignment, and that assignment was to make the way for me, prepare the way for me. And he's done that. As a matter of fact, I'll tell you about John. Among all the people ever born among women, no one's ever been greater. Wow. What was Jesus doing? He was revealing the heart of God. John had blown it. It was a significant failure, I think, because John was pretty famous among the disciples. He was Jesus' cousin. If Jesus' cousin, who had known him all of his life, in light of how close Elizabeth was to Jesus, then maybe there is something about this guy that's not right, this Jesus guy. And he's voicing that to his own disciples, John is. But John's conclusion was, let's talk about what he got right. Let's talk about who he is in my eyes. Did he get it wrong? Got it wrong. Shouldn't get offended. He stumbled. His stumbling looks like being offended. But let me tell you about him and how much he got it right. His assignment was to prepare the way, and he's prepared the way. Is he a prophet? More than a prophet. Did he compromise in the world? No. He didn't care about living in palaces. Is he significant in the eyes of God, in my eyes? There's never been a person born among women more significant than John. That's God. God never says you've blown it so he can make you feel bad about it and rub your nose in it and then try to convince you that the rest of your life you're going to suffer the consequences of a second-class spiritual life, second-class citizen life in the kingdom because of what you've done, because of your stumbling, because of your blowing it. That's not who Jesus is. Jesus didn't come to point stuff out. We've said this before. Jesus didn't come to call us out. He came to call us forth. You need to understand that. His obsessive passion was our redemption. And having been redeemed is that we might live his dream for us, life and life more abundant. And he's so big and he's so good. If that's what you still want, then he will cause everything, even stuff you've done, to work together for good towards that purpose. That's amazing to me. I've never thought of John as a second-class spiritual citizen because he blew it. Have you? And Jesus made sure that they heard affirmation. Because I would imagine when those guys came and questioned, they were stunned that if John the Baptist was doubting, what did Jesus say? Oh, no. He fulfilled his assignment. No one's ever been born greater than him. But let me just say this about you. Those of us who stumbled at times, who've blown it, you know what he says about you? But John the Baptist is the least compared to those of you who are in the kingdom. Never has anyone been born greater than you. That's what he says about us. That's the last thought. He may point stuff out to you because he wants to change you. He wants to transform you. He wants to deliver you from sin's reign and its destruction. He wants to save us from our own self-destruction. What's his last word to us? Never been anything like you anywhere. and you still can fulfill your assignment. The plan's not over. Yeah, but Lord, I've done some stuff. It seemed to change everything. And God goes, well, if I can handle Adam and Eve blowing it, I already had a plan before they ever did. I can take care of that because there's never been anyone greater than you, more important than you. That's what he said. Never has ever been a person born of a woman greater than John the Baptist, but all of you are in the kingdom. All the least in the kingdom, he said. The people who think the least about themselves, they're greater than John. Whew. That's amazing. That's our God. That's who he is. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.